The noted trombonist J.J. Johnson with Minor Blues. This is from his 1964 album, Proof Positive. Harold Mayburn on piano, Arthur Harper Jr. on bass, and Frank Gent on drums. This is Lead Stories, After a While. I'm Eutrice Lead. It's been quite a week, and so we're able to reconnect with each other today, and I'm very happy about that. Although, the occasion really is not that pleasant. With all this death and dying and disease as a result of this virus that has been unleashed. We don't know what the deal is with that, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to do this whole week. We're going to concentrate just talking. We will have a full week of discussion and debate, raising troubling questions and issues that so far appear to have few or no ready answers. How do we comprehend and deal with this global catastrophe? Why is it happening? Is it the advent of biological warfare or some new form of terrorism? We're not going to get into sensationalism or crazy ideas. And people like the idea of crazy ideas. We're hoping for some constructive discussion. No conspiracy theories, because it's the same thing. You just throw an idea out there and then sever yourself from any responsibility for it. That's reckless. That's not what we're going to do. But we do want some idea from you as to how you are interpreting these events. What is it causing you to think and do that is different from what just 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago you were thinking and doing other things? Now, what are you thinking and doing? What is the impact, the direct impact on you? This thing came out of nowhere, as you know. And like many, many disasters of this type, we got a little taste of it when Wuhan, China was the location cited as the epicenter of it. People came down with a flu-like disease, and next thing you know, they were dead. And it started spreading not just within China, it's spread without its borders as well. It went beyond its borders. And most recently, we've seen the devastating impact it has had in Italy, in Spain, in other parts of the world. It's on the move. But we don't quite know what it is. If people in the scientific world do know, they're not saying. Which is most unusual. All they can say, or all they are willing to say, is it's a virus. And if not interceded with early, it will have devastating, in fact, lethal effect. We're seeing that happening now. New York City is now the epicenter of this virus. The fear it is causing as more and more people succumb to this thing they can't see or feel or hear. And yet, it's all around them. No respecter of station in life. We have Prince, which of the princes, not Philip, the son, coming down with it. We had the first royal person, a princess of Spain, who has died from it. We've lost all kinds of people, high profile, low profile, no profile. They're all equal in the eyes of the virus. So that's what we'll be talking about. Again, please refrain from saying things that you cannot defend. And don't put out there things that you think might be the reason. I'm supposing and presuming that you're keeping up with the reports about the coronavirus as it unfolds. But of course, we have to leave open the very real possibility that we're not being told all that needs to be told either. So with that, we can start at 888-874-4888. And even though, as I said, we'll be talking about this all week. If you can identify a theme in what you are about to say, what you want to present for our consideration, that would be really helpful. This way, you keep focused on your point. Whatever your point is, you'll be focused on it and not, be all over the place with it. I have my own particular ideas, and people I know in the field who I talk to regularly, they have their own ideas. But today, your ideas are the ones that are most important. And let's hear them at 888-874-4888. Be as concise as you can so that we get as many people as possible calling in today and expressing their thoughts. 888-874-4888. Sharif from Queens, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
I hello, hope your good health... afternoon to you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, but it sounds like I'm hearing you out of one channel.
Okay, let me just say this first. I sincerely hope your health continues to improve. I would just
Thank
like to
you
make
very
a comment. Back in the fall, They had war games in Wuhan, China. They had military personnel there from more than 100 countries. You had a couple of hundred Americans there. I'm just saying that. And if you want more details, just go to Bonnie Faulkner, Guns and Butter, 318-2020. You'll get more details. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but you just, that's it. You have no ideas of your own. You just call in and you put that little piece of information out there and you're done with us? Apparently so. Okay, Hetty from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Heidi.
Hello, Heidi. Hi. Okay.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. So this is about solutions to what's going on today, is that correct?
Well, we're talking about the coronavirus and how are you dealing with it, interpreting it, feeling about it?
Okay, yeah. So, I'm a holistic healer, and I understand that there are diseases, germs, viruses, et cetera, all over the place, all the time. And as Gary speaks about, we're always able to strengthen our immune system. And I'm very concerned that though this is a real disease that's really happening to a lot of people, that our government is using this to scare us and to take away our power. And our power of knowing how to heal ourselves and empower ourselves. And I just am concerned that people are focusing on the fear and not looking on the so many optional ways of solving this, one of which is, of course, learning about all the many, many ways that you can heal your body with vitamin C, echinacea, golden seal, oil of oregano, colloidal silver, the list goes on, elderberry syrup, on and on. Things that you can do, and that, of course, your diet and good health.
Yes,
good
we're talking here not about diets. We're talking about the very real possibility that a person, even one who follows a strict diet and is, you know, very attentive to his or her own health, nonetheless is in an environment now that is dominated by this disease, which is a killer.
Well, frankly, I don't believe that. I don't believe that the environment is dominated by the disease. As I said, we have to empower ourselves to know the truth. And if you really look into the history of this, in October, there was a simulation that was
Hello, I'm not hearing you very well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. There was a simulation that happened around this pandemic. And the very same people that did the simulations were the ones that started the whole outbreak. And January 30th of 2020.
Wait a minute, where are you getting that information from?
I'm sorry?
Where are you getting that information from?
Global Health Organization. There's been, I listened to a show about it.
Do you know it to be true?
You can look it up. You can look it up. I've already done the back.
No, I'm not looking it up. You are advancing a point. It is up to you to establish the veracity or the truthfulness of your point. Had you done any research on this particular point, which you now believe.
I've done research, and you asked me what is my take on the whole thing, and I believe that though this is a real pandemic virus now, that the numbers, as Gary was insinuating also, what are the people dying from? Are they dying from, you know, they already had high blood pressure and heart disease, and this just took them over the edge? Are there the people who were healthy that were supposedly getting it, were they smokers? We're not getting the whole information, and the fact that we're not being told how, and we're not, the issues that are really important are not being dealt with. For example, you know, the GMO in our food that's causing sickness, and, you know, the factory farming that's making all the animals that we're eating.
Okay,
all of the crap.
Okay, I have to stop you because you're off base. I have to stop you. We're talking about an issue that is currently in play. Every single minute of the day, there's some discussion somewhere about it. It is now described as a pandemic. It's all over the world. It's killing people all over the world. When you start introducing, well, this might have to do with the GMOs, I mean, you're watering down your own point.
Out of hand. What I'm trying to explain to you is that this is a symptom of a huge disease that this country has. The world has. The whole world is diseased. We're out of balance. We're very sick. We're not doing things that are helping us to heal. We're not getting rid of fossil fuel, all those things. This is a symptom. So in these times, we need to keep that in mind and see it from a bigger perspective, a huge perspective, that this is something that something has to change in the way we're living. And this is a sign that we have to change. But it doesn't mean that we have to be victims of a virus. We can strengthen ourselves and be aware of all the things that have led us to this point, that have weakened us, and decide that we are no longer going to participate in those institutions and ways that have weakened us and taken away our powers, and that we can come together to understand that, yes, this is a disease and a virus, and there are many of us who are aware of what we're dealing with, and we have to come together and say, do not take away our rights. Do not shut us down, because we can operate in a way where we're empowered to change things so the world gets on a better track.
Okay. Well, thanks for offering your opinion. Thank you so much for calling in. Brett from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. One thing that's really bothered me about the COVID-19, what I'm hearing from TV, is that I don't understand when someone says, I've got COVID, but now I'm feeling better. Or Tom Hanks comes out and says, me and my wife have COVID, but they're not saying how they are being treated. They're not telling you what the doctors gave them. Nobody's saying they gave me such and such medication. Are they taking apple cider vinegar, vitamin C? You know, what? How do you just get better? And how does somebody else die? You know, they've got to be giving them something, especially if you're rich and famous and you've got plenty of money and you're in the hospital. They've got to be giving you something, and nobody said a word. Nobody's asked anybody what did they give you, and nobody's volunteered it.
Well, this is the thing. There are two ways to see it. Just the way you said it, that's one way. Mm-hmm. The other way is, let's say they were given something. Do they mm-hmm. themselves know what it is in minute detail? And mm-hmm. would they then be accused if everybody went and obtained whatever the therapy was that they got? And then we saw another wave of deaths and even more sickness. Who would be responsible for that?
So you're saying maybe the same medicine may not work for everyone? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that people are very careful, especially the more influential okay. and more public mm-hmm. profile that they have. Mm-hmm. They're very careful not to be interpreted as giving a solution to a problem,
okay.
even though we think that okay. that's kind of not, you know, it would have been so much nicer if people at least were able to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
then
yeah.
we have laws mm-hmm. all over the place, lawsuits all over the place. And when people pronounce what they were given that helped them,
mm-hmm.
And somebody else takes it and it has an adverse effect, then lawsuits start flying again all over the place.
Okay.
So people just are very reticent to say okay. what they took or what
okay.
they were given.
Yeah.
But your point is well made.
Okay. Okay.
Your point is well made that there seems to be a difference in the recuperation rate of people with money as opposed
mm-hmm.
to people who don't have money.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, can
very
we just,
good.
Yes. I agree. Otherwise, can we just go home and I might be feeling better or I might not? So, but thank you for answering that. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for mm-hmm. calling in and contributing. Jay from New York, you are on the air.
I hope you are doing well, Utrice.
Thank you
There's
so
nothing
much.
Like
I, you
turning
too.
On.
I hope we are all doing well. I hope so.
Well, I tell you, it's nothing like hearing your voice today. You know, it's a hard thing to go a week listening to repeats of A Brilliant Mind. But it was, it's just, you know, it done made my day to hear you now and to know that you are right, my queen. You know, this whole virus situation shows how a nation has to be prepared to deal with an epidemic, and that you have to have the right leadership to calm the fears of the public. And you just basically have to believe in yourself and be able to comprehend the information that's being given to you, so that you could process what is best for you and your family. I think that's the main thing that it has shown me, that, you know, you just have to listen to what's being said, analyze it, and stay as close to the vest to what they're trying to put out there so that you won't infect yourself or infect others. And, you know, just be there to do the one thing that I think is most important, to reach out to others, to ask others how they're doing, and to encourage them to not allow them to put them in an anxiety or a panic attack, because there's a lot of people that the media is not talking about, that we don't know about at this time, that are scared, that are suffering, that are in a state of, as one would say, discombobulation. The sad thing is that we don't know when this is going to end. And to me, I don't think it's going to get any better. I think it's gonna get worse over the next, I would say, 4 to 6 months. And I would just hope that we as a nation will learn from this and figure out how to deal with this when it comes back again, because there's a possibility that after, let's say, July, that this may come back in November or December. I'm just hoping that we could, over this period of time, get this in control so that, you know, people could get back to having some semblance of normality, some semblance of a life. So all I ask is,
what you're saying says to me, do you appreciate what a pandemic is? It is not well ordered. It's not well structured. It's not a seamless operation. It's chaos. It is unpredictability.
And it is all of those things. But I think what people are looking for is leadership, someone to take control, someone to give them comfort. And, you know, that's just the way, you know, unfortunately, most Americans are wired. They don't understand what this pandemic is. I don't think that those at the head, in all honesty, believe in pandemics. Because if you don't understand the science of a pandemic and how it comes into play and all of those things, then, you know, you don't understand. Like Stevie Wonder said, you know, certain things you just don't understand until it happens. And unfortunately, we are in a position to where the person at the head doesn't believe in science, doesn't have compassion, extremely narcissistic, and who's mentally ill. And, you know, it shows the contrast, and I'm no fan of Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo. I think he's just as dirty as the rest of them are. But what he is showing is a degree of understanding, a degree of compassion, a degree of leadership. He's showing all of the other things that our president isn't showing. And I hope that the American people wake up and see this, because I think as this thing goes forward and it becomes worse, they're going to really see that they want someone that's giving them hope, because a lot of people are losing hope. a lot of people are leaving us that one would never think that they would be leaving us at this time. I mean, it's sad to see, to be honest with you, some of the situations where a person finds out in 2 days that they have it and then there's no longer here. How do you prepare for that? And to what I think is the worst thing is not to be able to be at the side of your loved one and to say goodbye to them. I mean, that these are the things that pandemics bring apart. These are the things that this crisis bring apart that for years to come, people are going to have to deal with and address. And it's going to take a mental toll on a lot of people once they're able to sit down and to process what has just happened in this country. And some of it has to do with neglect from the top. You know what I mean? And that's troubling.
Thanks, Jay. Thank you very much for your contribution. Really appreciate it. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family. Can you hear me okay, Yatrice?
Yes, I can.
Yes, it's so good to hear your voice. Of course, we...
thank you.
It's
good to hear everybody's voice.
Yeah, okay. let me start out with... the fact that it's going to disproportionately affect blacks and people of color, in the respect that I don't often catch the 11 o'clock or the 6:30 network news, but I did yesterday. And the NYPD, that's the New York City Police, lost 3 people. Detective... a black gentleman and 2 black women. None of them would be classified as elderly. You know, they were working in the department. I think the 2 women weren't shown in uniform. They were probably what's called civilians. And the gentleman had asthma, you know, a history of having asthma, and the women, I remember, diabetes. So we're going to be disproportionately affected because of the underlying conditions. And if you don't catch the network news, you probably won't even be hearing a lot about it. And even if you do, we won't get the full picture. Okay, I also want to bring up a theme, and that's called a quantum physics concept. I think Einstein is credited with it, although his wife did a lot of his work that she got uncredited for, the first wife. And it's called spooky action at a distance, okay? Quantum physics, entanglement, things that just don't seem to make sense. And let me cite 2 things before I get to the third. And
you're not going to have the time to get to the third and the fourth and the fifth. We got to be concise. I prayed for it.
Time, but Sylvia Brown was known as the late Sylvia Brown, astrologer and psychic. In 2 of her books, and I heard this read on Coast to Coast AM, she actually predicted for 2020 a mysterious pneumonia illness where there would be no ready cure, okay? Also, Evelyn Paglini, who George Norrie Coates would bring
what
on.
What does that do to know that somebody predicted this? We're going to have endless, endless reports about people who predicted all kinds of things that seem familiar because of the coronavirus. How does
understand
it?
There is such a thing as a paranormal, and more things in heaven and earth than ever dreamt of. So to me, I have to look at that because she described it with the timing of it.
There's but here's the thing. No, I'm glad that she was able to point that out. But she's dead. And so are thousands of people all over the world. Without advancing in any of us a deeper understanding of what has happening or what has happened.
Well, that's my third point, Eutrice. Is, hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yes, is that our world is a mirror, okay? So this is how I look at it in some respects. So we're dealing with a level of, the way I would say it, evil in terms of the neoliberalism, the inequality that's writ large, the normalize of lying and prevarication, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, and I actually heard somebody say that on Coast.
Yes, it frustrates the heck out of me because it doesn't give us anything concrete to hold on to. We get all the ideas and they float around and people wax philosophic and we get into the esoterics of things. I am still stuck at the issue of a major disease, a pandemic is in play, taking hundreds of thousands of lives out and threatening to do more. What is this? What is it? It doesn't help me when people tell me, well, this is the vengeance of God. That does not help me at all. Or people would say, well, it is about, you know, things happening that are payment for evil being done. No, I can't make sense of that. I prefer that we keep our feet on the ground and we try to make sense of what is happening so that we can fashion some kind of a response insofar as we are able to fashion a response, if we can. But I can't take the Sylvia Browns and the others who see things. I see things all the time. I've been like that since I was a kid. And it frustrates me when I'm trying to say something and people say, oh, you're crazy. Well, of course, it's the same idea. They are operating in a different world. I'm operating in a different world from time to time. I predicted many political disasters. Sometimes it takes a long time to manifest. But that's, I think, everybody has some form of that ability. All you have to do is to lock in a little bit tighter to our reality. And you could see what is likely to happen. We do that all the time on the show. People can see the logical progression of something. That doesn't necessarily make it psychic. It's not psychic messaging. It's just thinking logically. Thanks for calling in and contributing today. Ali from New York.
Hey, Trish, how are you doing?
Hi.
I hope everything is good in Florida, and I know that they don't let New York residents in. So I guess that we've been banned from Florida. But
now
the
police are being empowered to arrest people who they believe should not be even on the street. You should be in your house. And this includes the elderly. It includes people with special needs. They're getting very, very dogmatic about it.
Okay.
They face arrest and or fines.
Before I have my comment, I just wanted to say two things here. One is for Jay, that he said that Andrew Cuomo is showing compassion. About 3 weeks ago, Mario Cuomo cut $2 billion out of...
I'm sorry to say, has died.
I'm sorry, the son, it's not Andrew, I'm sorry, the son, the our governor, he just cut $2 billion out of the Medicare for New York State. That's what he just did. So so Cuomo, when you call him compassionate, I just don't see it, because with this health crisis, I'm taking the money away and then refusing to accept the money from the federal government. How can you call him a compassionate person? So I don't see it. And for that lady who called from Queens, I believe she called from Queens, and she said that she doesn't know what they're giving people to get better. For that former, for your former radio station in New York here, I know two people. We got into a conference call on Wednesday, and two people had the coronavirus, and we had a conference call where I wanted to know the symptoms and what they did. And one of the ladies said, is different with different people get different symptoms, and it's different. One of them was in the hospital for 8 days, and I think the other one was for 7. And she said that they give people treatment, but it's different for everyone because people have the coronavirus differently. I mean, I guess the strength is different. And she's out of the hospital. But I just wanted to say what I have been doing. When I go outside, and I know that you just expressed yourself saying that now you can't go out of your house in Florida. Here in New York City, you still see people out on the street. I have been taking videos. Every time that I go out on the street, I try to take a video and have kind of like a history of what is happening. Yesterday, I was on the Crosstown bus, on the 23rd Street Crosstown bus, and my husband and I, we were the only one on the bus. We took the bus from 2nd Avenue, and we got off on 7th Avenue. Only one person got on before we got off. So they also on the bus, you can't sit in the front of the bus. I'm talking about the double buses. You can't sit in front of the bus because they have a change cutting you from sitting in the front of the bus, so you don't have any contact with the driver. That's one thing. Another thing that I notice about a lot of people in New York City, especially in the area where I am, where I'm at right now, a lot of people, they don't going around with protection. I don't have any mask. What I did, I made a homemade mask. I actually made 3 because, and that's what we have been wearing, because there is no mask around here and you can't really buy any. I wear the mask and I wear gloves. I have been going outside because I know sooner or later we're not going to be able to go outside. Please, people, I'm not talking about buying a lot of food, but buy a few things that you could survive for at least 2 weeks, because I know it's going to happen. Another thing is that people should check the news and read what is happening in Italy. In Italy, there is a revolt. People are hungry, and that's what I expect to happen in this country. $1,200 won't do it. And I don't know how people could really survive being inside of the house for 2 or 3 weeks or a month and survive with $1,200. In Italy right now, people are breaking into supermarkets. They're stopping people with bags if you have grocery, and they're taking away. People are hungry. And I eventually, if they don't do something really, really, I would say, giving people more money or giving people food, that is what I see is going to happen here, because I don't think it's going to get any better. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you for your call today. I hope it doesn't reach that stage with you. I hope it doesn't. Desiree from Florida, you're on the air.
Hi, Desiree.
Hello.
Hi. I want to say thank you for being here and talking with us and having this happen. I also want to say I have not been on for a while, but it's so good to hear Ali and Ma'at and Jay and to hear that they're there and they're watching and they're observing. I've been out and about, and about a few weeks ago, I was in San Francisco out there working, and around the time when the virus started, I was witnessing just the lines to get into grocery stores that stretched about two blocks. As of right now, I've been told by my boss we go back to work April 7th. I'm not quite sure if that's changed, but as of right now, that's what I know. Los Angeles is shut down for an extra 2 weeks or three beyond April 7th. Right now, I find myself with family, thankfully, in Florida. We're in Broward County, so there's been 60 dead, and right now for Florida, there's 4,950 cases. We're right across the street from a park, and from C.B. Smith, and that's where they are taking people in and testing. What thoughts I've had while I've been here has been thoughts about myself and my health. I was quite isolated in San Francisco, and now I find myself with family, but there's another kind of isolation that's in my midst. And in my household, our concerns are for our health, of course, but it's a kind of balancing between, you know, do I go to work at this job to fill out these orders of people who are buying stuff online, and they're not buying food, they're not buying toilet paper, they're buying clothes. And, you know, do I go out and do that and sacrifice my health? And bills are coming up, money, and what are we going to do, and who's here to help us? And I thought about you, Utrice, and I thought about a conversation we were all having. And I forgot what it was, but it was basically I was saying we ought to strike out, we ought to walk out, we ought to do something and show this government what it means and who we really are and the rights that we deserve as people. And some of the backlash that I got, and that wasn't backlash, but the comments that I got back was, well, it would take a lot, and, you know, you got kids and family and food, and people aren't really prepared to stay at home and do this strikeout. And I see now, it was as though a light bulb went in my head. Well, now is the time then. And I'm thinking about what is happening on the days, in the nights, where we're all at home, we're all here, we're all stuck in home. There's less eyes out on the street. What is going on that we really ought to be focusing on? And a lot of your callers are calling about, well, what is it that I can do? How can I be healthy? And what measures can I take? What should I be taking? And it seems to be there really is, the answer is in yourself. If you know you have a really lousy eating habit, you've been eating all the wrong things, it's time to change that and do the best that you can to maintain cleanliness and positivity. But I lastly want to say that Ali was just saying, you know, what was happening in Italy. And she said, you know, and I think you said, well, I hope it doesn't get to that. I want people to be well. I want people to be safe. And I have a lot of people that I care about. Even if I don't know you, I'm saying and hoping that you remain in health. But there's a part of me that would want that to happen here in this country, because I think there's a lot of people who say, you know, oh, this country's doing great and, you know, we could be doing more. I don't think so. And it goes back to something you said last week, I'm remembering, about, you know, this country or this president will never say, oh, we're not doing enough. We're great. We're always great because we're America. They cannot see what more that can be done, because if they do that, they would that would mean to say that we're not as good as we thought we were, and we've got to take a back seat. Why is it that Korea was able to do 50,000 tests a day? Anyone can please quote me if I'm wrong, but at the time they were doing 50,000 tests a day, and everyone is cheering and jeering over, what is it, 12,000 tests or 20,000 tests. There is more, and we ought to be doing more, because if you really care about these people, which is the backbone of what is going of this country, and, you know, you want us to go back to work, Well, I don't want to go back to work if you cannot provide me at least with a mask and gloves. And I know, you know, we can do these things ourselves. But, you know, we got to get back to work. Productivity, money, productivity. I think now's the time when we should take a seat back. And if you can organize any people in an apartment complex, if you're living in an apartment, there's like 23 units, go to every one of them or leave something on the door or talk to them, talk to your neighbors through the door and say, hey, you know, we're not going to leave here. You know, if your landlord is saying, you know, you guys got to pay this rent at this and I don't care what happens, they can't throw out 23 families in a 23-unit apartment or complex. You know, I think it's time to unite, get together, and just have conversations like we're having here. And if you know anybody who could come onto this show and just listen to some of these ideas, I think this is a virus that ought to be spreading while this other contagion is happening. A virus of self-respect and dignity and positivity and talking about the things that matter the most. Being with family, doing work, but working and being known that I'm a human being, I exist, and I deserve health. I deserve to at least have some minor guarantee that I'm not going to be struck with something, and then it's up to me to have to figure it out. I want to thank you so much for letting me speak. I don't know what you made of that, but whatever it is, I hope someone...
I made a lot of that. I made a lot of that. That was instruction. And we are so lucky to have you and others who are doing exactly the same thing, sharing your ideas. This is where the work really is, to encourage people at ground level to examine things a bit more closely and to find ways that they can help or that they would want to help. This is great. I was cheering as you were speaking. Thanks, Desiree, for your call today. Thank you. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese.
Hey.
It's good to hear all of everybody. So I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad everyone else is back, because I was kind of getting tired of listening to myself open the show a couple times. It's kind of embarrassing. I was like waiting for you, and they'd say, Gwen. I'm like, what? What's going on here? So, the shock is over, and I'm not remembering COVID. But I'm listening to I live in New York, so everybody should know. You already said. But I wanted to say that there's been a lot of things swirling around my head since this has happened. And one of them is the quiet in the city. Again, it's very quiet, and it's strange, but it's almost like I think this whole country's been on high throttle, push, 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 and then all of a sudden we collapse, and it's like, okay, now we need to stop and think. And this is a time of not just this disease, but it's been a time to allow one to think about the system and the system that we've chosen, and why do we have to have the system that actually I don't think we've chosen. And I keep reading a lot of things on social media about sort of the symptoms of the bigger problem, and that is, yes, we don't have enough masks, we don't have enough ventilators, we don't have a person in the White House representing us, but, you know, where that came from was, you know, at least 40 years of neoliberalism and this move, this wave to change our entire economy, to kill the middle class of this country, to get rid of all of our factories. I mean, if you drive by Bridgeport, Connecticut, you will see tons of buildings that are sitting empty. Newark, New Jersey, they're empty, and they're being knocked down. And these used to be things we called factories. And you want to know something? Shame on us that we can't make our own ventilators, that we can't even produce our own masks, that we have allowed ourselves to be put in a position that we are totally at the, well,
we have to wait. We have to wait for China to produce these things. And these things all came about because of NAFTA and GATT. So we had NAFTA and GATT, which got rid of our jobs, which got rid of our economy. And, you know, in the short run, some people made a ton of money. Lots of people lost their homes. Lots of people lost their livelihoods. Lots of people also did not get up, not loud enough, and protest the things that have been ripped away from us. And so now we can see what we're getting. The chickens have come home to roost, and what you get in this system is you get to wait. You get to be sort of in a free fall. But we also have, at the very same time, we have, you know, a candidate that everyone was calling a socialist and, you know, horrors of horror that we would have Medicare for all. And I still hear people fighting to have Joe Biden come and rescue us, except for guess what? He's been missing. He's missing in action. And,
no,
you know,
you observed that too.
But interestingly,
he's probably having a nice little nap.
Was happening, which was nothing. Bernie Sanders had three roundtables on the telephone that I think I told you about. And one of those roundtables discussed the plan that he was going to propose to Congress when it came to getting unemployment insurance at 100% full pay, making sure that gig drivers and also wait staffs got $15 an hour. All the things that he got proposed, that he got through, I knew about those things because he had this gigantic roundtable over the telephone where you just had to kind of hit this link, and I was on there with 12,500 other people. It was really amazing. And the reason why things like this, you know, have to happen is because Bernie is absolutely forbidden to speak on any commercial network. So he has to keep coming up with these new ideas to get his work out there. But, you know, I would ask people, look at what he has done so far and ask yourself, do you really think that Joe Biden is going to do anything different when he gets in office? But we're at a crossroads to me. Right now we're at a crossroads where all of the things that we have done, all of this casino capitalism has come home, and we're getting a really, really good look at it barefaced. And we can see the incredible flaws and the things that it has done to destroy our society. And I really think we need to take a step back, and we need to start asking ourselves, can we change this entire community of the United States? Can we change our capitalist point of view?
We have to go in that direction. As I said, we're starting it this week. We're continuing. Don't be afraid that you won't have an opportunity. You will have ample opportunity to express yourself, that's for sure. But we have to end it here for today because we're out of time. I am so grateful to be in your midst, to be one with you as we discuss the realities that we are experiencing and ways in which we can tackle them and perhaps do something about them. So we go back to this tomorrow, and then the day after that, and the day after that. We are going to, little by little, disassemble all the moving parts here. And that is supposed to help us understand which way is the best way forward. Thank you so much for joining me. An honor and a privilege to be in your company. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.